Breaking news with Tim Walz as the VP pick. Is the Kamala honeymoon over?
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Well, if you thought it was going to be an astronaut or the Jewish governor of Pennsylvania, a state that is one of the most key to win in the presidential race, no, the Minnesota governor is the choice. Yep. The whitest guy of the white guys. Tim Walz. He was a school teacher from Nebraska originally.
Yeah, we have some sort of highlights if you want to know about
him. Spent about 20 years in the National Guard.
Yep, 24. Yeah, I'll just go through it. Tim Walz,
do it, Logan.
41st governor of Minnesota, as you said. He was first elected in 2018 and won re-election in 2022. Six-term congressman. He served in the National Guard for 24 years after enlisting in 1981. After high school graduation, he enlisted in the Army National Guard. He attended
Chadron State
College, graduated with a social science degree in 1989, spent a year teaching abroad before returning home to serve full-time.
Do you know where?
It does not say.
China.
In China. In the Army National Guard, eventually accepting a high school teaching and coaching position. So again, I don't know who they're trying to play for in this moment, because you have a state that hasn't gone red in 50 years, probably.
Trump was targeting it this year, as Republicans would like to target it, Logan. I mean, obviously, be great if you could turn Minnesota
red. There that you would feel like could be turned.
Right, but you also have George Floyd, you have the protests, you had the violence, this all happened under Walz.
Yeah.
Now, what's something interesting, when he first ran for Congress, he was a six-term congressman, he had the NRA's endorsement, now he's banning guns. Right. So he's someone who has moved, like Minnesota kind of has and does, he's moved across the spectrum from kind of moderate white guy from Midwest to liberal Minnesota.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are weirdly, I think the conservative crowd is a little relieved by this pick.
He is the guy that started calling us weird.
Now, he was the origin of weird.
And they said they like that a lot.
When you
kind of banned you want to ban books and you want to be in the operating room with women during abortions. That's kind of weird. Think about it. He came up with that.
Gotcha. So and if anyone would call someone weird, I feel like it's this guy. When you look at him, you're like, look at these weirdos.
And
I'm happily weird. So it's fine.
You know, you don't have to bring up the Jewish thing.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big deal. I think the fact that they were kind of teasing that, okay, you're going to have the first vice president who would be Jewish. Obviously, we've had Joe Lieberman run as well. So, I mean, it's been tried before. It has not happened yet. And then you have Kamala Harris. So you would have thought this could have been another historic big moment. Young people. I was at an event. I was talking about this yesterday on air, where people were talking about how Shapiro did such a good job on his social media and how they really felt like this could be the right guy for the moment. But no, you wake up to the news that it's Tim Walz, someone who really... most people don't even know the name. Most people never heard.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to blame anybody right now if you don't. I mean,
I did not until a couple, maybe a week ago, until his name started bubbling up in this. Maybe it's the call to pick someone who's going to be, kind of fade away into the background. We said, does this feel like a person who's a future presidential pick?
No.
Not really. They're not thinking that far ahead. They're thinking of an eight-year term for Harris.
They're thinking like, we just got to survive this. Yeah. We got to beat Trump in one election. We've beaten Trump.
Yeah. Or maybe like a Cheney, like a Dick Cheney. No one ever thought Dick Cheney was going to run for president.
No, but is Tim Walz like so prepared to be?
Yeah, I mean, he's also not like a strategic.
I mean, he's been a governor for a long time.
I mean, kind of, 2018.
And congressman.
Yeah, congressman, six-term congressman. So he was there for a while.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's been
around.
He knows
politics.
Right. As kind of like Midwestern goofy as they want to play, this is a guy who's been in politics in a long time.
All right, I have a question for you. Before we get next segment, by the way, Marsha Blackburn's going to be joining us.
Yep.
And then later on the show, Mike Pompeo. I want to hear from you, though, too. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about this? Is this a gift to Republicans? Does this make the Kamala honeymoon end? Or is this just another example of just going to your far left base, using that social media base, the TikTok base, to get them excited? Let us know what you think. 1-800-684-3110. We're also in the beginning of our Life and Liberty Drive extension for the month of August. We need your support right now. Go to ACLJ.org. All donations are doubled. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
to Seculo. So we have the VP pick for again, Kamala Harris. It's interesting. I mean, we're going to take calls eventually today. I want to know from folks and be honest with us. If you knew much about Minnesota Governor Tim Walz until you heard it today, I'm not going to be judgmental of you. But we are also joined right now, Logan, by Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, who is also up against one of these insurgent kind of radical types in Tennessee. Again, a little bit different than Minnesota. But Senator Blackburn, this Jordan, and you tweeted right out that Harris chose to side with the anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas, radical, liberal wing of her party. Let the record show Harris and her party are anti-Israel, and you sent that message out today. I want you to talk people through that who just don't know much about the Minnesota governor.
Yes, and I served in the House with Tim Walz. He was a regular, consistent, to be counted on vote for Nancy Pelosi and her agenda in the House. And one of those main agendas that Pelosi was trying to push, of course, was the climate agenda and that radical doing away with fossil fuels and moving to wind and solar. So, and you've seen that as he has been governor. He has been so far left. He really is one of those climate radicals. And in Minnesota, he put stricter emission standards on SUVs and cars and trucks and tried to align himself with California on that. Indeed, he went so far as to push to do away with fossil fuels by 2040. He didn't want anything other than EVs in Minnesota. And as we saw this past year, the electric car chargers froze, and people could not even charge an electric vehicle in Minnesota. We also know that Tim is right there on that leftist wing with Nancy, with Kamala Harris and with Nancy Pelosi. And we know that he would be more than happy to stay right there. He wants to do away with private health insurance. He wants to push for universal health care. And he is going, he believes in abortion on demand up to the moment of birth. He is always trying to weaken election safeguards. And one of the things that I think is most problematic is the way that he has dealt with illegal immigration. He wants to give them health care. He wants to pay for their college tuition. He wants to give them voting rights. This is all positions that as governor he has taken. So what Kamala Harris did was to go for the most leftist. Jordan, she chose the person most philosophically aligned with her, even though they have spent hours trying to make her into a moderate. All of a sudden, her pick of VP says, nope, she chose somebody who was right there with her.
One of the things, Senator Blackburn, you brought up is obviously the differences between you and a lot of the candidates and, of course, Walz's response to the border crisis, including in Minnesota, by the way. He ran on trying to make Minnesota a sanctuary state. When you hear that kind of rhetoric and you know it may be coming out of a presidential administration, I just wanted to get your thoughts on how that makes you feel.
Oh, when you talk about people that are trying to turn their entire state into a sanctuary state, I want you to think about that. That means you're going to give preferential treatment to people that have broken the law and illegally entered the country. You are going to preference their needs before the needs of tax-paying citizens. And people that try to create these sanctuary states and give them voting rights, give them health care, give them education, give them housing, what you are doing is taking those services, those social services, away from citizens who need those services. And we have seen this in so many of the sanctuaries and cities and states. But the other thing to think about is, what do the cartels do when they come onto U.S. soil? They don't come to somewhere like Tennessee, who has said, you cannot have a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state in the state of Tennessee. You cannot be a sanctuary community. So the cartels go to these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, and they set up their hubs. And that is where they do their fentanyl distribution, their labor crews, the work gangs. This is where the gangs coalesce. It is where the human trafficking takes place, the sex trafficking takes place. So if that is what you want in your community, go declare yourself a sanctuary city. Go say our entire state, every county, every city is a sanctuary. And that is what you will be opening, potentially opening the door to for your citizens.
You know, we have this sound, and this is interesting. It's from Governor Walz, Senator Blackburn, and he talks about how, again, socialism to one person can just be being a good neighbor to someone else. And I think just playing this over and over to people so they understand his mindset is going to be very important these next few months. Let's play it for everybody.
But we can get out there, reach out, make the case. And for one thing, Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
I mean, Senator Blackburn, right there, being a good neighbor does not mean being a socialist. And that definition does never has to coexist.
Well, you're right about that. I heard that clip, and the first time I heard that clip, I thought, what in the world is he trying to say? Neighborliness? Thinking everything you have should be mine, that is being a good neighbor, thinking everybody ought to have exactly the same everything of everything. Is that what he thinks is being a good neighbor? Giving the government control to make decisions for everybody, does he think that is being a good neighbor? I think that being a good neighbor is showing compassion, reaching out, helping, stepping forward, individual freedoms, and the opportunity to do things is certainly a way to be a good neighbor. And not what yours is mine is, that is not a way to be a good neighbor.
You know, Senator Blackburn, right here in Tennessee, though, we've got issues. You're running again for re-election. The left here has chosen to run someone very left, and that is what Harris has chosen too. And what we are seeing consistently from the Democrats is choose a liberal running mate, choose someone who is going to back up your liberal bona fides. And he's going to say, you know what, this is Harris, she gets the support like of a California liberal, she gets the support of a Minnesota liberal. You combine those two kind of liberals together, you're getting pretty close to communist liberal.
Well, and of course, what Walz was trying to do in Minnesota was to align it more with California on the policies affecting illegal immigration, on the policies that are affecting climate, on that Green New Deal, on making certain that they lessen the restrictions around election security. You know, this is one of the things that he is focused on. And we know this. We know this. And I think it is important for people to realize they are going to have a choice in November, whether it is my race, and they can keep up with my race at MarshaBlackburn.com, or whether it is President Trump's race. The Democrat Party is giving you the most leftist candidates. My opponent is the most radical member of the Tennessee State House. The presidential ticket from the Democrats is the most far-left ticket they have ever offered. Each of their presidential nominee in Harris, the VP pick in Tim Walz, they both identify as progressives. They are not out of the mainstream of the Democrat Party. So you've got that far left ticket.
Senator Blackburn, as always, we appreciate you joining us today on this important morning, too, because you served with Governor Walz. So you've got that insight there. People can learn about you at MarshaBlackburn.com with your race in Tennessee. Of course, to support a good conservative there. And we appreciate you coming on right after this announcement today on Seculo. Folks, the left has skirted the Democrat process with their nomination of Harris, and now the left just doubled down on their radical agenda with their VP pick. But your ACLJ has never been more needed, nor more committed to fighting the radical left's agenda, which is why our Life and Liberty Drive has been extended. Please have your gift doubled through our Life and Liberty Drive at ACLJ.org. We just sent a demand letter to the Secretary of the Army after a military base labeled our client Operation Rescue, and anyone with a Choose Life license plate, terrorist groups, were defending Israel before the ICC and the UN, and of course, just filed the Supreme Court on life. All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're joined now by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, Secretary Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, we all got the news alert this morning. It came across our phones very early, about 8 a.m. Central Time here in Tennessee, Logan.
Started getting texts.
Started getting the alerts. And we saw that Harris had just picked Minnesota Governor Tim Walz to join her presidential ticket. Just to get your initial thoughts on that announcement.
Well, Jordan, I served with Tim Walz when I was a member of Congress. This is deeply unserious. This is left politics at its most dangerous. This is Vice President Harris made, which doesn't do a single thing about someone who cares about the border. Indeed, he offered a ladder to get them across. This is someone who has rejected the basic tenets of law and order in his own city. We saw that during the George Floyd riots. I observed him as a member of Congress, not taking seriously his responsibilities. And we know this, too. Vice President Harris is part of a Biden team on foreign policy that has set the world aflame. And Governor Walz has literally zero experience dealing with these complicated and important security issues. So I, for the life of me, I can't figure out how it's the case that the American people would stare at Governor Walz and say, yeah, that's the guy I want to keep my children safe. That's the guy I want to grow my economy. Or that's the guy I want to secure my southern border. They just demonstrated a lack of seriousness that is befuddling to me.
Yeah, I mean, you bring that up. You do realize, because Minnesota was in the news a lot over these last few years, but not for good things. I mean, and this was all while Walz was governor. So, for instance, we know how radical he is. Like you said, on the border, he was saying, I'll offer you up. Here's the ladder. He wanted to make Minnesota, a sanctuary state on energy, to go full EV in a state that, of course, has pretty extreme weather. And the batteries just aren't ready for that yet. On crime, and of course, they had the riots in Minnesota during COVID, the shutdowns, the taxing, the spending. I mean, if you look at it, you kind of go, okay, he actually got a lot of attention, and the state got a lot of attention, maybe not him, but the state got a lot of attention over the last few years, more than Minnesota maybe would usually get. That's not how I'd want my state to look if I didn't have to.
No, the contrast that will be presented, right, between the San Francisco model and the Minneapolis model, and what I think everyday ordinary Americans who want to raise their family, live their life, they want their wages a little bit higher, they want their streets safe, they want to be able to go into Walgreens and not have everything locked up. This cannot be encouraging for those people to see that she picked someone just like her. It shouldn't surprise you that Ilhan Omar is ecstatic, beside herself happy that this progressive leftist was picked to be her vice presidential candidate. But for ordinary Americans who aren't particularly political or who aren't following everything breathlessly like so many, I think they're going to see this, and I think they will reject it because they know that, frankly, it's just not good for them.
Secretary Pompeo, I wanted you to respond to this clip. This is our team just pulled this about Walz's relationship with China. As we know, he lived in China, had a significant amount of time there. But let's take a listen, and then being in the positions that you've been in, I want to get your thoughts.
We've been focusing on, and I lived in China, and as I said, I've been there about 30 times, but if someone tells you they're an expert on China, they're probably not telling you the truth, because it's a complex country. But it's critically important for us. I don't fall into the category that China necessarily needs to be an adversarial relationship. I totally disagree.
So that's the comment of him saying that, he doesn't believe China should be an adversarial relationship. He's been focused and he's lived there. People are not telling you the truth about the relationship with China. I want to get your opinion.
What on earth is he speaking about? We don't get to choose whether they're an adversary. They have chosen to be an adversary. We can see it every day. We can see it with the threats they're posing in the Pacific. We can see it what they're doing here inside the gates, inside the United States. No, Xi Jinping has made China an adversary. And, you know, when I hear him say that, this is a model that has failed the United States. We've failed to recognize them as an adversary for the past 40 years. And we've tried to placate them saying, gosh, if we just sell them more stuff or buy more stuff, they'll be more like us. The truth is they are eating our lunch. They've destroyed tens of thousands of jobs in his home state of Minnesota, stealing manufacturing and intellectual property from the people of Minnesota. To voice that on the American people as the vice president or part of the Harris-Waltz team would be devastatingly bad for the American economy and the American worker.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, we know that at least five service members, that includes U.S. troops and military contractors, they were hurt in Iran-backed missile strikes in Iraq. We don't think this is the actual bigger response that they've been talking about to the killing of taking out of Ismail Haniyeh from Hamas. What move do you think Iran is looking to make soon? I mean, everybody is kind of on edge. I know a lot of folks in Israel on edge as well about what Iran might try to do next.
So look, I haven't seen the classified information. I don't know what the latest intelligence shows, but it is very clear that the Iranians have expressed that they are going to make a penetrating deep strike into Israel, or at least try to do so. I bet the Israelis are pretty well prepared, but Iran is a big, powerful nation as well. I suspect that what you saw at Assad was a message to Joe Biden and to Vice President Harris. That was a message that says, remember, we can reach you as well. So whatever it is we do next, just know we can hit your soldiers, we can hit your sailors, your airmen, wherever they may be. So when we take our strike, our expectations, you will stand down and allow the Israelis to have to defend themselves on their own. I pray that President Biden will not continue to be so weak and so failing to allow those kind of strikes, to allow Americans to be injured and to do nothing.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate all of your insight into this and, of course, the breaking news about this pick. And I want to go to you more throughout because I think hearing from you, hearing from Senator Blackburn earlier, both serving in Congress with Tim Walz, we're going to want a lot more about that.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's great to have Secretary Pompeo and anyone who can really look into it, because most people, I mean, if you look around the world, think, what was the percentage rule? It was like 70% had never heard of him before,
right?
Of the American population. So this is brand new information to people. They may see a certain news reports, certain articles. I told you, I saw the left kind of putting out, hey, he's a moderate. Hey, he, you know, look what he did. The NRA endorsed him numbers of years ago. And of course, they don't acknowledge what he's been doing in the last decade. So that's something that we're going to cover here. Thank you, Secretary Pompeo, for joining us. We always appreciate your thoughts and opinions on all the breaking news and everything that's happening. But right now, everyone, we are just a few days into our extension, our Life and Liberty Drive for the month of August. You heard me talk about it. Look, we know yesterday we talked about the economy a lot. It is hard to come on here and just say, hey, please give us support. But no, we won't be able to provide not just this broadcast, because there's not ad supported. This broadcast is created solely by supporters of the ACLJ, those that give individual and reoccurring donations. And I know that someone approached our family yesterday and said they're an ACLJ champion on the streets. I heard that, which is amazing. An ACLJ champion is someone that gives to the ACLJ on a recurring basis. But right now, you heard what Jordan talked about. We've extended this Life and Liberty Drive because we've never needed it more. We've never needed to be more committed. When you hear the rhetoric that's coming out, you know that this potential Harris-Waltz administration could be the most anti-Israel, will probably be the most anti-Israel administration in history if they get elected. Now we need to fight back, and we are doing that. We are supporting our friends in the pro-life community. We got big news coming up for that next week or the next couple weeks, and we just filed to defend life at the Supreme Court, and we're defending Israel in front of the International Criminal Court. You've heard about all of this. We are literally fighting to save our republic from real threats to democracy. But we can't carry out that mission without you, our ACLJ supporters and ACLJ champions. Keep us in the fight. Have your gifts doubled today. You got to go to aclj.org, make those donations, or you can just scan the QR code on your screen. We got a packed second half as well. Will Haynes, executive producer, he's going to be joining us in studio to really kind of break down this, get his opinions as well. So you want to stay tuned. Second half of an hour coming up. We have, let's see, two lines open right now so you can get your voice heard. And if you're on hold right now, we will take your calls coming up in the next segment. So stay on hold. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on YouTube or Rumble and you're brand new, hit that subscribe button, hit that thumbs up, hit that like, throw in the comment where you're watching from. I'd love to see it. We'll be right back.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Will Haynes now joining me. He's our executive producer of Seculo. And Will, just to get your thoughts too, I mean, this morning we all got the news alerts somewhere between, you know, 8 a.m. Central Time where we are. I just got out of South Carolina, and I know I'm praying for the people with the storm there who are dealing with the in Charleston area. But we were able to get back here so I could get back to to work. So about 9 a.m. Eastern Time is when this, of course, pick came out. I wasn't shocked because he's been in the list of every list for the last couple of days. But he was someone who was kind of at the end of the list.
Right.
And I was a little surprised that, you know, a white guy from Minnesota that I don't think they're going to have a problem likely winning. Like, that's not the first state that comes on my list for Kamala Harris as a problem state.
That's right. And that's why many people were looking at Governor Shapiro and Senator Kelly from Arizona, because those are two states that are really must wins in this election. They're two of the most contested swing states, very close in the polls. And so it was kind of a little bit of a head scratcher at that point. But when you start digging into Governor Wall's record, you understand that it's the perfect fit politically. So it's going to shore up that base, maybe get some progressive activists excited because they know that there's not going to be any daylight between Kamala Harris and her vice president on the policies they choose to move forward with, whether that be Israel, whether it be abortion. Remember, Minnesota is a state where there is no limit on abortion. So that is up until birth that of the pregnancy, that abortion is viable there. So it is the most progressive policies are now coming together as one ticket. But I also think it's interesting because they're going to try to project him as this folksy, Midwestern, very friendly to the rural population. Obviously, there's a lot of rural areas in Minnesota, a lot of farmland in Minnesota. But
of course, he'd like to get rid of all of that.
Right. There's a lot of already clips and things because he's run six times for Congress, twice for governor. He's given a lot of speeches to a progressive base. So it's going to be easy to pick up a lot of this, these past topics and past comments that have come from this governor, including this one. This is a flashback from 2017 when he was running for governor the first time in Minnesota. And this is what he had to say about really rural areas of America. Let's go ahead and play Bite 8.
You know, you see those maps, red and blue, and there's all that red across there, and Democrats go into depression over it. It's mostly rocks and cows that are in that red area.
So he's mocking the rural America, saying that you don't even have to worry about that. It's just mostly rocks and cows. I feel like if that was your angle of trying to get someone that would appeal to the rural base, that folksiness that he has, he's got the Minnesota accent.
But it's not what he actually believes.
Exactly.
He's mocking you if you don't come from Minneapolis. And if you don't think George Floyd riots are the norm, or that driving an EV that doesn't work because of the freezing temperatures in Minneapolis and trying to shut down your cow farm because of the gases that it releases. But when they make fun of rural America and they love China, and he brags about his 30 trips to China, doesn't that tell you a lot about who they are? When they say, you know what, I made 30 trips to China, including spending, you know, a year there teaching, and I don't see them as an adversary. But, you know, we just heard from Secretary Pompeo, Will. China has decided,
right,
to be the adversary. It wasn't the U.S. who says, we want to be your enemy, China. We want to be your enemy, Iran. China says, we want to take you on, United States. We want to show that we can be number one.
That's right. And that is the problem, is when you have someone who's going to be the vice president of the United States, potentially, is running for that role now, and their entire mindset is, look, I don't see it as adversarial. That's not your decision at this point. When the adversary decides you are their adversary, you have no choice in the matter.
Moves that are adversarial to your country and nation, which is why I hope that he does not become vice president of the United States. Again, it's an interesting pick by Harris. Maybe a little insight, too, into where they're more concerned about their liberal base getting out there than we thought. You know, because we all have heard about how excited everybody is with Harris and poll numbers going up. But then would you have picked him? Would you have had to pick him if liberals were so excited? I mean, there had to be something in their polling to say, we got to make sure we get Minnesota. We'll be right back. 800-454-3110. Let's go back to the phones, Will.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and start off with Steve from Colorado on line one. Steve, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve.
Fine. Thank you. Hey, you guys. I'm just a simple guy, retired military. My whole family's been military.
Thank you
military.
So much for your service.
Thank you. We love this country. I'm driving out in beautiful eastern Colorado, and I just want to say, my brothers and sisters out there, we need to help the ACLJ like never before. They're the only ones that are fighting for us, for our freedom out there. And believe it or not, one day we're going to regret if we don't help them, because our freedoms are trying to be taken away right now. So please, my dear friends, get out there, whatever you can put in. I mean, if you put in $10, $100, $10,000, let's do something, because we got to fight for our country. We love this country. So please help these folks at the ACLJ. I'm not the type of guy to call in. Just have to be out driving on the middle of nowhere. But I thought, man, I got to tell my fellow Americans that love this country, let's fight for it right now like we never fought before.
Well, first of all, Steve, we care about you. We care about people who Tim Walz, I guess, jokes about and makes fun of because, right. You know, driving out in the middle of nowhere, he called what? Rocks and cows. Rocks and cows. I think that comment may come back. But, you know, it's interesting, too, because you said you want to support the work of the ACLJ. We so appreciate your service to this country, Steve, and of course, your support of the ACLJ. I also want to say thank you to the Kansas GOP chair, because we did an event, and we showed some of the events, and we'll show some of the photos right now, during the GOP convention with the Kansas GOP chair, Mike Brown, who also helped us. There it is. With the 14th Amendment cases that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court when they were trying to remove President Trump from the ballot, and he was key there. So we were able to do the event with Rick Grinnell, Ben Sisney from our team, and at no cost to the ACLJ. And that was an event on lawfare for the delegates of the Kansas GOP. So I just wanted to say thank you, Mike. We really appreciate your support, too, and of inviting us there. We'd love to work with you more in the future. We thought, like, this is a great way. We should do more of this next time. There's conventions every couple of years. Talk to more delegations about offering up our team to come and speak to your delegation about issues that you're concerned about. And Lord, I mean, depending on how these elections all turn out, there's a lot of issues, Will. I mean, we've got one as well. It involves, you guys talked about it
right.
While I've been traveling, about Operation Rescue and labeling pro-lifers as terrorists. But kind of explain to people what happened there, and then we're going to explain what the ACLJ is doing.
So we talked about this. This is a training slide that was used at Fort Liberty in North Carolina. It's formerly Fort Bragg, now renamed to Fort Liberty. But this was a training for security on base, and it talked about terrorist groups. And this slide followed slides on ISIS. And it talks about anti-abortion groups, Right to Life and Operation Rescue, people that identify as pro-life and oppose Roe v. Wade. And it even talks about that some of their activities are sidewalk counseling and crisis centers, meaning pregnancy resource centers. And at first, we thought maybe this can't be real. We dug. It was real. The base said it was not supposed to happen. We had members of Congress that also got involved, and that we, through ACLJ Action, were able to sign onto letters and endorse. But now we are representing Operation Rescue and their leader, Troy Newman, who the ACLJ has a long history with Operation Rescue. Some of the foundations of this organization were fighting for the free speech rights of Operation Rescue and defending them. But we've now sent a demand letter to the Secretary of the Army about them violating the First Amendment rights of Operation Rescue. And we also found out through this that not only was this used once, but the Army has confirmed that the slides have been used for at least 7 years. They have been training American soldiers that groups like Operation Rescue, or if you have a Choose Life tag on your car, that you should be wary of domestic terrorists. And we are fighting back now. But when you look at the radical way that the Harris administration would roll out her pro-abortion agenda, and now picking a governor of a state where there are no limits on abortion, extreme pro-choice, pro-abortion candidates. And you also think about the fact that I saw a BuzzFeed list that was trying to do the 11 accomplishments of Vice President Harris while vice president, trying to a puff piece, if you will. You know what the number one accomplishment was? that they had. She was the first president or vice president to visit a Planned Parenthood. That's what they claimed was her most prominent accomplishment as vice president. If you don't think that things like this, calling pro-life advocates domestic terrorists, will not only continue but grow under that administration, it tells you why the ACLJ has to continue this fight, uncovering it and defending pro-life advocates everywhere they are.
Everywhere. And folks, that's why, again, we want you to support the ACLJ during our Life and Liberty Drive, which has been extended. To go to ACLJ.org, double the impact of your donation. You think about, if these pro-abortion radicals get into power, they are already labeling you as a terrorist. What if they start treating you like a terrorist? You know, it's one thing to say, watch this group. They kind of seem like terrorists. But if they start treating you like terrorists, your kids like terrorists, your communities, your cities, because they're red. I mean, even listening to J.D. Vance, he's doing a rally right now. And yeah, he's had an interesting experience, right? Because he was, picked as VP to go up against Harris. And now Harris is the nominee. So now I guess it's Tim Walz. But he actually just said at a rally in Philadelphia, he's not even convinced that Tim Walz is going to be the VP nominee, that the Democrats are just playing around with names to see who polls best. Take a listen.
The reason I didn't say a whole lot about Tim Walz is because the Democrats have showed a willingness to pull a little switcheroo on us. So I don't even know if we're actually going to get Tim Walz out of this campaign. And I think that a lot of us are asking ourselves, well, it's not going to be official until the Democrats actually nominate him, I guess, at their convention next week.
So, I mean, I understand what he's saying there. I do think, in a sense, they're like, they do get this testing period that they've never had before. I mean, Harris has got the nomination in the sense that the votes are there for her. They did that virtual nominating.
Right.
I don't know how that works for Walz. I don't know how that works for the VP. But, I mean, I'm imagining that if there was some backlash, which it does look there is, but let's say tomorrow, you know, the liberals find something about Walz that they don't like and the party doesn't like, which, again, right now I look at his resume and I'm like, oh, this is what they love, is the fact that he's a white guy from the Midwest who talks like he's from the Midwest, but actually makes fun of the cows and the rocks and the people who don't live in the big cities. And of course, he was there during George Floyd. And he wants to take away your car and your fuel, even though electric vehicles really don't work well in places like Minneapolis yet, and even northern Minnesota. And he thinks that China's not an adversary, doesn't need to be an adversary, doesn't think that we should claim that they're an adversary. He's got a lot of issues. And of course, has become radically pro-abortion, radically anti-Second Amendment. But if they find something, well, I mean, I think J.D. Vance is right. What guarantee is it that he's going to be the nominee?
They've showed their cards that they're willing to play with the Democratic system already. As Rick Grenell always says, if the liberals accuse you of doing something like being a threat to democracy, they're probably doing it themselves. But I think that we should show some of the imagery from that summer. It was in 2020. What happened in Minneapolis? Sure. And there was a lot of criticism at the time that Governor Walz, when the mayor was requesting National Guard, he withheld them. And so it doesn't look like that's America. No. It looks like war-torn streets of Baghdad.
It was a time in American history. It was a time in American history which you kind of like going through COVID and those other time periods when you want to kind of almost don't want to remember, so you kind of try to block it out in your head that this is what it was like every night in the United States of America, and that this kind of violence was on the streets. But that was the states he governed. That's the state he governed. So he goes from Congress to governing that state and just ignoring. I guess, did he just ignore, as governor, the fact that this was happening?
According to the reports, the mayor of Minneapolis.
I don't remember him from that. And right. You would think if he was the governor of Minnesota during this, you would have said, well, at least I remember him during George Floyd. But I don't.
The reports I read were that the mayor of Minneapolis requested National Guard. And Walz delayed granting that. Eventually, National Guard were sent in. But one of the quotes I saw when he pushed back on the mayor was that he said he was expecting to get hundreds of finely trained soldiers. Instead, they would have been getting cooks because he doesn't understand how the National Guard works.
Interesting.
So it's an interesting thing. We need to look at that record. But also remember, it wasn't just like a few fires. It was $550 million of damage to a city.
Those are the estimates.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm not sure Minneapolis is the same ever. I know it's not at that level. But, I mean, there were areas that, remember, completely burned out. This is when we started to have those areas that there were no police in.
Right.
And then it spread throughout the West Coast even more. And there were no police zones. So, again, 1-800-684-3110. Next segment of the broadcast, what we're going to do. We got a lot of phone calls, but we got to get through it. 1-800-684-3110. But I do want you to support the ACLJ during our Life and Liberty Drive, which has been extended. And as Will said, we just filed to defend you and to defend the pro-life community in Operation Rescue. And anyone with a Choose Life license plate who's been labeled a terrorist group by our military, we're doing that with the Secretary of the Army. But we're also at the Supreme Court on life. Go to ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double your impact. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Seculo, final segment. I want to talk to you, and people have been hanging on the line. Let me go right to this in order. Susan in Maryland on line four. Hey, Susan, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Donate to ACLJ. If I can afford it, you can too. Awesome.
Thank you.
So my question is, can you discuss the potential debate with Vance and Walls when Vance tears apart Walls for the negligence in destroying black and brown businesses that never recovered in Minnesota?
Sure. I mean, that whole area, I don't think it has. I mean, I think they called it like George Floyd Avenue. I mean, they've gone back to it before, and it's a lot of businesses, right, that never returned. People that were, things were totally burned out. The police didn't return either. It's not something to be proud of if you're on the left. But, you know, it's almost like barely in his talking points that, you know, he was governor during that. They're saying, well, he was the governor. He wasn't the mayor. But I would like to say this, Susan, thank you for your support of the ACLJ, is you would think, Will, that the guy who was the governor of the state that had riots going on is the last person you'd pick if you're the Democrats trying. And like Secretary Pompeo said, I had to look this up for myself because there's a lot of news on this, obviously. When Ilhan Omar is happy about your pick, you know how radical they are.
Right. And you also have to take...
She is. And she's putting out pictures of her with Governor Walz and how excited she is.
AOC on this as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is not a moderate. This is not a Midwest moderate. This is a far left radical liberal who wants to bow down to China.
And I think as well, when you point out that he was the governor of the state, when you're the vice president, really the job you're running for is being able to step in as president if a national crisis arises. And in the face of a state crisis in his state as governor, his record, in any more than his policies, shows that he was not up to the task of responding to a state crisis during those riots. And also remember, yes, it was a city, Minneapolis and St. Paul. St. Paul is the capital of Minnesota. Yeah, so the Twin Cities area is the capital area of the state. It's not like it was a city off somewhere in the Rocks and Cows region of your state. It was your capital city that this happened in. But let's go back to the calls.
Yeah, let's go to Joshua in California online too. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, guys. As an American Jewish voter that endorses Donald Trump, I actually woke up somewhat angry this morning to the news of Kamala Harris's VP pick, as it clearly passed over Josh Shapiro only because he's Jewish. And I say that because he's got the same positions on Israel as everyone else in the Democratic Party. Now, while I don't agree with Josh Shapiro's position on Israel, I know a lot of other American Jews that do, including my parents. So I see a massive opportunity here. And my question for you is there someone, or do you think there should be someone in Trump's ear saying he should at least reach out to Josh Shapiro for some sort of endorsement or at least a public statement saying that Kamala Harris didn't choose him because he was Jewish? I hear he's extremely politically aspirational and might be in the position to sway a lot of Jewish voters towards Trump.
Listen, I think because he's very politically aspirational, he's never going to say that.
Right.
He might know that's the case. Listen, John King from CNN said it. This was not something, Joshua, and I think that, again, if you're anybody who's Jewish should just note this. This isn't anybody's having, like, in the back, you know, the discussions. They had it right on TV immediately that they said if they pick a Jewish nominee, and remember, Harris is married to a Jewish man with Jewish children, okay? If they picked a Jewish nominee, that would upset the party. And, of course, they have not. They've instead picked the Minnesotan who is getting the support of Ilhan Omar.
Can we also just reflect on that for a moment?
Just think about that for a minute.
The state that we're in America, that it is not a secret. It's not an open secret. It's an open talking point that she couldn't pick someone because they're Jewish. That's how anti-Semitic really the Democrat Party
Shapiro,
is. Right.
She wasn't going to be able to pick Shapiro. Though Will, I think, did a great job looking. And though a lot of us thought, okay, it sounds like Shapiro, but they're going to start in Philadelphia. Maybe she's going to be like kind of bucking the system a little bit. And we're not going to have such an anti-Israel position, even though she's come out with more anti-Israel commentary than Joe Biden even. But instead of that, they start off in Philadelphia. But Will, we've also realized now that's normal for VP choices.
It's very normal. And I think within like the past 40 years, they don't announce the VP pick in the state they're from. So there was a lot of analysts pointing to that the fact that you shouldn't read into the fact that her first speech was in Philadelphia. And it turned out to be the case. If I was a Democrat right now, with all the topsy-turvy situations going on, waking up to another head fake would probably anger me quite a bit. It's like, what, can we just straight shoot for 1 minute? But let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Sue in Minnesota, calling on line 3.
Hey, Sue.
Hi.
Great to have you. You're on the air.
Great. I just wanted to tell everybody that we in Minnesota are ecstatic that Kamala picked Walz because we finally are getting rid of him. We have tried.
Yep.
In 2020, our state was covered in Trump signs, including our Democrat city. And somehow, you know, Biden won.
Yeah, that's
we don't
because
have
of all the rocks,
election.
Sue, that's because, you know, it's a bunch of rocks and cows. And they don't vote. Listen, in one sense, you're getting rid of him, but you might actually be elevating him to a level we don't want, right? So, I mean, let's make sure we're just getting rid of him.
Well,
I'd say.
To some degree, maybe we don't get rid of him from his governorship if he doesn't
win
the election.
I guess he's not going to give that up. So you temporarily kind of get a reprieve, Sue, and we hope that that's all it is because we sure wouldn't want him to be elevated to that level. When you start seeing who loves him, I mean, Ilhan Omar has less support for Kamala Harris than she does Tim Walz. Just let that kind of just rush over you for a minute. Ilhan Omar is love tweeting Tim Walz right now with all of her pictures with Tim Walz, like a little kid. Like, oh, I got a picture with him. Like he's a celeb. If Ilhan Omar is doing that, and she's not acting that way about Joe Biden, she's not acting that way against Harris either. If Ilhan Omar is taking this position, doesn't that tell you all you need to know about Tim Walz? Do you really need to know that he thinks being a good neighbor is socialism? Do you think that you need to know he's been to China 30 times and don't tell him that China is an adversary of the U.S. when they announce that? By the way, that they're in a strategic, again, they have strategic partnerships, but there's also strategic conflicts that they're in with the U.S., and they of course befriend our enemies that we are at war with. But again, just to kind of let it just sit there, Ilhan Omar loves this pick. I don't think I need to say anything else.
Mike from Minnesota on line 6. Mike, we've got about a minute left, so be quick, but thanks for calling. You're on Seculo.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much for what you do. I am a mini champion. I just wanted to say a couple things about George Floyd. They had the National Guard in uniform, ready to go, armed to stop the riot, and the governor did not call them out. We had over 1,000 businesses that were destroyed. We had over a $12 billion surplus in Minnesota that was squandered by Governor Walz, and they're raising the taxes on us now. We've got, I've heard, over 70,000 illegals in the Twin Cities area, and the city council, to demonstrate Minnesota politics, voted unanimously to defund the police department in Minneapolis.
Right. Listen, Mike, I appreciate you calling from Minnesota. We are going to ask, you know, over this time to hear more from Minnesotans like we have from Californians about Harris, but especially a governor, to hear about that experience and remember the experience under George Floyd and what has happened since then. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact now at our Life and Liberty Drive at ACLJ.org.